Nehemiah chapter 2. As we go on in this story about Nehemiah, we come into chapter 2. And I want to, from this chapter, explain five reasons why Nehemiah succeeded in this project. First of all, he was passionate. There are five P's here for you to remember. First of all, he was passionate. It says in chapter 2 and verse 2, "And the king said to me, 'Why is your face sad, seeing you are not sick? This is nothing but sadness of heart.'" You know, it's very difficult to not let your face betray deep emotions. And Nehemiah was deeply moved by the news that he'd heard from Jerusalem. His face reflected the passion in his heart. If we go back to chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, "And they said to me, 'The remnant there in the province who had survived the exile is in great trouble and shame. And the wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates are destroyed by fire.'" Now, many people would have heard this news and thought, "Wow, those fools that went back to Jerusalem. We were much more comfortable here," but they took the risk and they've paid the price. But Nehemiah's reaction was different. He was broken. He was deeply moved by this. And it says, "As soon as I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days, and I continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven." So his reaction to the news betrayed his passion, but also his response, his continued response. For 4 months before he spoke to King Artaxerxes, he was preparing himself in prayer. It was written on his face. There was a man called Evan Roberts as an example of this, because no person has ever been at the center of a move of God who has not been passionate about it, who has not been deeply moved and driven to prayer and to action. And Evan Roberts was one of those, this young man in his early 20s. It says, "For a long, long time, I was much troubled in my soul and my heart by thinking over the failure of Christianity. Oh, it seemed such a failure, and I prayed and prayed." You see, he didn't accept the status quo. Others think, "Oh, church, it's great." I was up this morning on Dartmouth Park Hill and I could see over the city. And I was thinking, how many lively churches are there? What witness is there for Christianity in London? Not what it should be. I wish I was as passionate as Nehemiah. I wish I was as passionate as Evan Roberts. But we're going to need a passion for the work of God. And then Nehemiah was prayerful. Well, we've already learned that. And in verse 3, it says, "I said to the king, 'Let the king live forever. Why should not my face be sad when the city, the place of my father's graves, lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire?' Then the king said to me, 'What are you requesting?'" Now, many of us here would think, "Whoa, here is my big opportunity. I'm coming now with my list to the king." But the first thing Nehemiah did, it says he was afraid. What was he afraid of? Was he afraid of his life? Was he afraid of losing his head? Well, what was he afraid of? Maybe he was afraid that things might go wrong and he might not get the thing he really wanted. And so his response was this: "So I prayed to the God of heaven." Something we must learn is arrow prayers, as Joe's talked about them. Those prayers we pray as we go along. We need to prepare our hearts during the day. We must spend that time with God at the beginning of the day to get our hearts tuned in to God. But also we must learn to pray as we go along. And God wants us to pray about everything. He wants us to pray about our shopping. He wants us to pray about our prayers. He wants to pray about the people we meet. He wants to pray about the emails at work. He's interested in everything. God wants to be involved in the whole project, not just the beginning, not just in the plans. And Nehemiah prayed as he went along. And then the next thing is, he was practical. Nehemiah was a very practical person. It was not a light thing to be the cupbearer of the king. He was a noble in the court of the king. And I bet that he was a very practical guy. I bet he was a good timekeeper. I bet that he was a man who kept his word. I bet he was a hardworking guy because God had prepared his character as well as his prayers. He was a practical man. And we need to be practical also. And this was reflected in the things that he asked for. In Nehemiah 2 verse 7 it says, "And I said to the king, if it pleases the king," and there are two things he asked for here, "let letters be given me to the governors of the province before beyond the river." Why? "That they may let me pass through until I come to Judah." He knew he was going to need safe passage. And so he starts to pray cheeky prayers here. "I'm not just going to ask that the king would let me go. I want to have some provisions here. And the first thing I need is safe passage." So he asked for that practical thing. And then the second thing he asked for is timber. "I want a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the wall of the city, for the gates of the fortress of the temple, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall occupy. I need some wood." So he asks the king, having asked for God, asked God for these things. And what happened? He gets his prayer answered. He's praying in the will of God. He's praying boldly. He's praying with faith. "And the king granted me what I asked for the good of the good hand of my God was upon me." And then the fourth thing that Nehemiah had was patience. We need patience in the work of God. And I have to confess that this is something that I am not blessed with a natural abundance of. I'm more the bull in the china shop. I'm more the person that will race out of the blocks to get the things done. But God, usually through trial, has taught me some degree of patience. And I know that we will not succeed in the things of God if we will not wait for God, if we will not wait for his timing. So we need to walk carefully. Do you remember Abraham? Abraham rushed ahead. He couldn't really trust God. And so he slept with one of his wife's maids. And the result of that was Ishmael, who caused him a certain amount of grief and trouble in his life. And then finally came Isaac. Years later, when he had to trust God, Isaac was the child of faith. He was the child of patience. Ishmael was the child of impatience. And it says here in verse 15, "Then I went up in the night." Why did he go up in the night? He didn't want anybody to see what he was doing. "By the valley and inspected the wall, and I turned back and entered by the valley gate, and so returned. And the officials did not know where I had gone." You see, wisely, he had told no one, a bit like Mary, who hid these things, kept these things in her heart. I would have probably told everybody what I was doing, proudly, but not Nehemiah. He kept the things in his heart, and at the right time, he let out the news. And then finally, this work was productive. And you know, we should expect the work of God to be successful. I believe God wants us to be successful and productive in our work, whether that's Christian work, whether that's secular work, whether that's in our family. You know, Jesus never failed, never failed. Yes, he was crucified, but that was part of the plan. He succeeded when he died on the cross in stripping Satan of his power, of taking away our sin, of carrying the judgment that was due to us. Jesus succeeded in the cross. He trusted his Father, and the Spirit raised him from the dead. And now he is seated in the highest place in the universe. And all through his life, in those 3.5 years of ministry, he was successful. He cast out demons. He healed the sick. He did good to humankind. He succeeded. And God wants us to be productive. Nehemiah 2 verse 18, it says, "And I told them of the hand of my God that had been upon me for good." I've prayed for many people during this pandemic that God will surround us with favor like a shield. favor that he will make people successful in the thing that God has called them to. And that favor would be like a shield guarding around them. May God give us success. So he told them that God's hand, he told them the stories of the success that God had given him, and it inspired them. I told them the hand of my God that had been upon me for good, and also of the words that the king had spoken to me. This is verse 18. And they said, what was their response? Let us rise up and build. They were inspired by the hand of God, the favor that was upon him. Because Nehemiah recognized that he alone could never build those walls. He was going to need a team. Going to talk about that next time, the team that gathered. But this is the beginning of the work. At the right time, he shared the task. And it says, let's rise up, let's do this work. And they strengthened their hands for the good work. And then finally, he was successful in his opposition to the enemy. When Sanballat the Horonite, verse 19, and Tobiah the Ammonite servant and Geshem the Arab heard of it, they jeered at us. They despised us. You see, these were a despised people, but not Nehemiah. He was like King David, who in the face of Goliath said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Nehemiah had no time for the enemy. He respected that they were opposition, but the faith gave him great boldness in the face of the enemy. And they said, what is this thing, Nehemiah, that you are doing? And you're rebelling against the king. They wanted to instill fear into him, but he was a man of faith. Then I replied to them, the God of heaven will make us prosper, and we, his servants, will arise and build. But you have no portion or claim in Jerusalem. What a wonderful story. Let's just pray for a moment about those things in our lives, shall we? Father, we thank you for the passion that was in Nehemiah. We thank you for that passion that was in Evan Roberts. He was not satisfied with the status quo. He recognized that things needed to change. It bothered him, and he was prepared to put his life on the line. Thank you for his prayer life. Father, would you give us a spirit of prayer? Would you help us to pray? Father, would you make us practical people? Lord God, would you make us those who give our time, our dreams, our careers, our lives, our family, everything in the purpose to which you have called us. Father, we pray for patience. If we are impatient, people like me, Lord, give us patience to wait for your timing and not to just rush in our own strength. And finally, Father, I pray for all of us today that we will succeed, that you will cause us to prosper in the thing to which you have called us. I pray, Father, for a great blessing to be upon the church. Father, we pray for that blessing to come. Father, we pray for favor to surround us like a shield in Jesus' name. Amen.